Did I say earlier that it's been a busy week? If you look in your bulletin, you're like, you know what? We've been doing Revelation for over 2 years, and today all of a sudden it says it's not the last book. And there's some weird title in the bulletin called What a Difference Faithful Giving Makes. And you're like, where in the world did that come from? So let me tell you what happened. I truly hope you appreciate this. I cannot in good conscience stand in the pulpit and try to go through the book of Revelation when I've not had adequate time to study. And this week I have been out a whole lot and things going on. So the options were to either have someone come in, fill in the pulpit, or come up with something else. And I really hate to have somebody fill in when I'm sitting here, but I have not had time to study. I've been out so much this week with things. And so I'm going to take you back to March 15 of 2020. March 15 of 2020, we had met here. The pandemic was just really getting flared up good. And somebody had started to turn the gas grill burner up to high with the pandemic. And so we got here that Sunday, March 15. I think we had about 10 people in church, 15. It was like, whoa, what in the world is going on? And of course, after that, we then had a lot of things disrupted until about June, and then really later into that year. And so what you don't know is on that Sunday of March 15th, I was planning what I call our stewardship message for that year when it comes to our tithing, our giving, what we support as a church. And so I had that prepared to go, and then I looked out there and saw like 10 people, and I thought, whoa, this is weird. So we went to something different at the last minute. I think from the book of Joshua, I believe I did just right then. And so this week, in the sovereignty of God, like I truly believe this is going to be God's sovereignty. But it's like, Lord, I cannot go through Revelation. I have not had time to study, and I'm not going to stand in the pulpit and try. It's not right for the people. I'm not going to do it. And it dawned on me, I said, it's been a while since we've talked about our finances, what we've contributed to at the church. So what I usually try to do is about once a year, I do what I call a stewardship message to remind us what we support at the church, encourage us with our giving. And believe it or not, I looked it up. It has been over 5 years since I've done kind of a stewardship sermon. And so with this Sunday and where things have been this week, I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back to March 15, 2020, pick up from there. And I want to explain again to you. Now look, here's why I'm really excited about this. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes churches, when they talk about money, they beat you up over the head and there's begging you to give. That's stupid. There's a Hebrew word for that called stupid. And that's not right. That's not right. And here's what I want y'all to know. We're such a unique church here. Our weekly giving is far above budget needs. It's been this way for about 4 years now. So that is not why I focus on stewardship. The reason I focus on stewardship is I want you to see what you are supporting as a church. That's what I really like about what I'm going to share today. Because sometimes you get the idea that when you tithe and you give, it stays right here, keeps lights on, keeps a preacher fed, takes care of parking lot issues and sewage issues when they go bad. Like that's all. But look, a church is designed to promote missions and ministries and go beyond these four walls. And so what I'm excited about, if you are new here within the last 5 years, you may not have a clue what we support. And I'm going to show you today very clearly what we support and where the giving goes. That's what I'm excited about, and that's why I like to do this once a year or so. So we're going to do that today. And I'm calling this, as you see in your bulletin, What a Difference Faithful Giving Makes. So I've heard it said before, and you probably have too, that you can learn a lot about a person by looking at two things. Look at their calendar and look at their checkbook. Because what that does, it tells you how they spend their time and how they spend their money, right? So these are two key components that really give you a reading on a barometer of what's important in a person's life. Now, when it comes to finances, I want to be helpful. If you are a person and you're looking for a good resource when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your retirement, when it comes to paying for medical expenses, mortgage, I mean, all these kinds of things, there is a ministry that was started by late Larry Burkett along with Howard Dayton called Crown Financial Ministries. And I put it up here every time I go through this because that's a good resource. You can trust it. And if there's others, but this is one that's just been around a long time, and they're good with their biblical perspective. So if you've got any questions about your finances when it comes to honoring God and taking care of needs, this is a really, really good resource. And here's what you find in the Bible. Jesus talked a whole lot about money and riches. Okay, people don't realize that. Now, let me tell you why he did that, and I put this up every time as well. And this is going to be key. If you don't get anything out of this, this might be worth the price of admission today. Now, here's the truth about it. Money can do more to you than it can do for you. So it's important then, the church needs to get its theology right, right? We need to get our salvation right, doctrine of man. We got to get that right. But the church also should be a source of guidance and wisdom when it comes to practical things in life. And so there's a warning that Jesus gives over and over in the Bible that money can ruin your life. And sometimes we think, man, if I could just have a little bit more, a little bit more here and there, and that may be the case. Look, I'm with you. There's things I like to have too, right? God is sovereign. He takes care of my needs. But sometimes having a little bit more also comes along with a lot of difficulties and more anxiety and more struggles and more stresses. So Bible says be content with where you are, right? God provides for our needs. So this is just a good warning and reminder for us when we think about stewardship, that money can do more to you than it can do for you. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the last book of the Old Testament. If you were to ask me, where is the Bible most clearly? I mean most clearly speak about tithing and our support in the church and giving in the church. The answer would be Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, the book of Malachi is written when the people of Judah are returning from their 70-year exile about the year 434 B.C. They've rebuilt the temple after destruction of the temple, of the walls around the temple. They've rebuilt the people. They've reestablished their sacrificial system. And what happens is, when the people got back in the land, they grew very lax in spiritual matters. And they started not to focus on God like they ought to. And so Malachi had the task of basically pointing out their sin and warning them of doom. Now, no preacher wants to do that. But that's what Malachi's task was. So when he gets into his message and gets to verse or chapter 3, he ends up speaking about the way they're not faithful with their giving at the temple. So if you look down at verse 8, and we've read this several times through the years, but if you're new in the last 5 years, you haven't seen this before, here's what Malachi says to the people. He starts with a question. He says, will a person rob God? Hard preaching, right? Malachi says, yet you as a nation, you've robbed me. But then you're saying, hold on, wherein have we robbed you? And the answer, this is God's answer, you've robbed me in your tithes and your offerings. That's a hard message, right? I promise you, Malachi did not get an invitation to come back after the Sunday, right? That's just the way it is. And then here's what he goes on to say. Now listen, this is from God. He says, because you've robbed God, you're cursed. You're cursed with a curse. Because you've robbed me, even this whole nation of Israel has robbed me. So here's the solution in verse 10. What you need to do is bring then all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat or food in my house. And God says, you can prove me or test me now with this. The only time in the Bible I can find, God gives us the permission to test him. You can test me with this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I also will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And if you'll do this, if you'll honor me with your tithes and your offerings to the nation of Israel, it says, as a result of that, all nations will call you blessed. You shall be a delightful land. Again, says the Lord of hosts. Now I want you to look quickly at the text. And here's what I really want to do. The main point today is going to be topical. Be application. I want you to see here at this church what you support through your giving. And I'm really excited about that. So when Malachi begins his sermon, he speaks of a person robbing God. Okay, basically you're cheating God. And they rebel against it. And they're like, hold on.
What do you mean we rob God? We ain't robbing God. And he gives the answer. He says, yeah, but you're withholding something called a tithe and an offering. So here's what you need to know about when it comes to our faithful giving. Number one, I would argue from Malachi chapter 3, two very simple points. I share these, I think, every time we look at it. Faithful giving makes a difference because it helps to avoid a curse in your life. Listen, God does not need your money.
Right. Amen.
Wake up call. He does not need your money. Bible says he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need your money. But here's what I've discovered, and this is going to be me personal testimony. I've discovered in my life, God doesn't need my money, but I sure do need to give it to honor him. And you're going to see how that comes into play in just a minute. So to avoid a curse. So what is a tithe? Now in the Bible it says in verse 8, when he addresses the issue, that it's an issue of a tithe. Now, you know here at any church you go to, you have something called a tithe and offering time. Okay, a tithe literally, okay, straight from the Hebrew, literally means the tenth part. Now, think about it like this. If you were in an agricultural society, and let's say that you've had And you've had a good harvest of beets. I like pickled beets, by the way. They are good. But you've had a good harvest of beets, and you're now, this is an agricultural society back in their day. Like, all right, you had to give the tithe, give the best part and first part to God to honor him. What do you do? Here's what you do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Boom, set that one aside. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Boom, set that one aside. Right? That's a tenth. That's a tithe. Now, what we do today, last time I checked, most of us, we don't have the large gardens and fields and work all the agriculture like it used to be, but we still do have income, right? So we think about a tenth. We think about a tenth of what God provides, what he allows us to earn in our jobs. A tenth is our tithe, okay? And it's pretty easy. I like the way God has done the tenth thing because I really don't need a calculator to figure that out. So in the Old Testament, he speaks here of the tithe. It simply means the tenth part. Now here's where, let me show you where things are in the church across America. And I've shared these numbers through the years, and in case you're wondering, since the last time 5 years ago we talked about this, the numbers have gotten worse when it comes to proportion of giving in people's lives through the local church. So let me put this up here. You go back in history and consider the church, okay, God's people. 1933, it is estimated that the typical average American, when it came to giving to and through their local church, gave about 3.2%. of their income. Okay, God calls for a tenth, right? So that's already like a lot of sin and disobedience, but that's where it was. Now, y'all can help me with this. 1933, you ever heard of something called the Great Depression? Okay, we're talking about 1929, stock market crash, all through the 30s, Great Depression. During that time, about 3.2% was given from income through the local church. Now, you would say, no, certainly once the economy gets better, things are booming again, the people will be more faithful with their giving. Well, guess what we found out? And again, you go through some resources, they'll tell you that when you get into the 21st century, by the year 2001, it had gone down about 2.7% giving to the local church. Now, I used to share with y'all 5 years ago when I last checked it, the currently is about 2.5%. I looked it up. Now it's 2.1%. Now, here's what I'm saying. Across the board as a people, and I'm talking people with our churches, right, that God says honor him with the first fruits when it comes to our tithe. And look at the level of disobedience across our nation, right? In Depression time, it was higher then than it is right now. So if that is the case, based on what Malachi says, there's a lot of people in churches in America that's robbing God and cheating God. Okay, that's what Malachi says. And something else I like to put up here with that, you wonder then, when it comes to statistics, what does it look like in most of the churches around the nation? Now, if you go by church members alone, only about 4% of church members tithe. But if you break it down specifically by believers, because y'all know this, don't you? Not every church member is a believer. Okay, you understand what I'm saying there? So if you break it down only by believers that claim to be born again, professing faith in Christ, again, trying to get statistics, about 12% of the people across America in our churches actually tithe. And here's what most do. And I've said this so many times. A lot of people, when it comes to their giving in their local church trying to obey God, they donate, but they don't tithe. There's a big difference there. So God calls here for a tithe. in the book of Malachi. And let me give you one more point. And this too, if the first point about money doing more to you than for you didn't ring your bell, man, this one here is going to probably be worth the price of admission. People don't understand this. Tithing is far more about faith than it is about money. Right? And see, now I've been, I don't know, when was I saved? 17? I don't want to do the math real quick because I ain't got time. But I've been long enough in life to realize that, listen, and we say this, but most of us don't really live it, but we know we can't outgive God. And I've seen so many times in my life, I told y'all before, I'm in seminary, have zero income, except I was cleaning toilets, cleaning houses a little bit. Rhonda's teaching a little private Christian school. I think she made $16,000 a year. And we're like, you can't survive on that. But yeah, but when God is in the midst. And you know what we did? Every paycheck she got, we struck 10% and gave it through our local church. And I'm going to tell you this. I've told y'all this before. I don't understand God's math. We went to seminary in 1996. Well, we got married in 97. So I guess technically 97, you merge your lives together and all. In 97. And I promise you, I know what was in our savings account. Now, 5 years later, finish a bachelor's and master's degree. 5 years later, all we did was tithe and try to honor God with the first fruits. We left seminary with more in the savings account than we went there with. That ain't supposed to happen. Here's what I'm saying. Tithing is much more about faith than it is about money. When Malachi says in the text, listen, y'all have gotten back in the land, but there's some issues in your worship. And he says, you don't think you got an issue. It's in your tithes and your offerings. Now, the best way I can understand to explain it, it really helps me. The tithe is a 10%. Anything I give over, that's my offering. Okay, Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Vision Virginia State Mission offering. Right? It goes above my tithe. So when I get to the end of the year, I mean, I can tell you, I get to the end of the year and we get a giving statement here at the church, and I can look at the tithe amount. I promise you, that's 10% of what God allowed me to earn through the year, whether it be with church work or other side work. The 10% is there. But there's always more above that because I got different offerings through the year. Right? This is what he's talking about, tithes and offerings. And there's a serious issue in the nation of Israel. So what I'm saying is, when it comes to faithful giving, the difference it makes, it helps to avoid a curse. Now here's the second thing Malachi says. I got to go like so fast. Verse 10, second thing, and this is going to be more on the positive side. He says, not only does it bring and help you avoid a curse, but it also brings a blessing. Now here's what God says, and Malachi gives to them the message, and this is in verse 10. So the solution is, and bring all the tithe into the storehouse. There's a room there at the temple where they would store the grain and store the produce as it came in, as they're giving to God. The Levites thereafter survive. It meets their needs. They take a portion, give it so the priests can survive. Okay, God's got a system in place to meet the needs in the temple. So bring it, he says, into the storehouse that there may be food or meat in my house. And I want to also, let me throw this out there too. I'm passionate about this. Giving is an act of worship. Okay? You say, now why in the world did the church years and years ago decide, and I know it used to be before the pandemic, like we're past a plate and kind of making people feel guilty for not giving money. Listen, that ain't the point. Giving is an act of worship. So when I come to the church house on Sunday morning and I put my envelope into that plate like I did today, when I put my envelope into that plate, that is me responding to the goodness of God. That's called worship, okay? Response is worship. So when Malachi says you bring it to the temple, like God's house, which today for us would be the place we meet in the church, and he says, you can test me in this, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Now, be careful here. Listen, y'all, I know. This is why the money sermons in churches usually offend people, because you got these people on TV and they're begging for money and they're violating the word of God. And they're like, oh, if you'll just send $10, God will bless you five times and put five times back in your account. You're lying. That is not why you give. You give to obey God, and He does bless. But listen, y'all, He doesn't always bless by making your checking account fatter. Malachi says sometimes a blessing comes through what He doesn't allow to take your money. when your car breaks down and the sewage goes. I mean, look, see, God's got a way of working, keeping the devourer away from us. And I'm going to tell you what, last time I checked, that's a blessing. Right? So he says, bring it there, pour out a blessing. Now notice too, in this verse, he promises to meet the needs, but not their greeds. That's important. That is important. And we ain't got time to unpack it right now. The blessing. Proverbs chapter 3. A wisdom. A little piece of wisdom. It says, honor the Lord from your wealth and the first of all your produce. You do that, your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats overflow with new wine. This is an Israeli contest. He was trying to let them know, if you'll honor God, He'll bless you. And in verse 11 he says, again, I'll rebuke the devourer. I'll reverse the curse. I'll prevent crop failure. And your vines will be taken care of. Won't cast fruit before to their time in the field. Nations will call you blessed in verse 12. Let me give you this. This is another good statement I came across. I like it. When it comes to giving to God, okay, what He requires, what He asks for in obedience, man, this has always been so helpful to me. And you listen, you can try this. Try this the wrong way and see what happens. But here's what I've found in life. And I put it up here. Living on 90% with God's blessing is better than living on 100% without it.
Amen.
Now listen, you can try it. I smile when I say that. You can try it. Try to steal from God, rob from God. And you'll see. I mean, honestly, you got the prerogative. You got free will. Do it. But I'm telling you, the Bible says, honor God first. And you're going to find the blessings from God are far greater. Amen. When you trust Him first. Now, let me show you what we do here at the church. And I'm so excited about this. So, I'm going to switch to some topical application for just a minute. The main purpose today, and if you're new here, I want you to know something. We try our best to support ministries outside this church. Our missionaries, there's so much. And so I want to show you, I do this each time I go through it. I just got to remind you what you are supporting here at Mountain View when you give. If you were to pull up our budget right now, this is 2024 budget under the category of missions. There's something in that budget category that is called cooperative programs. It's the very top of the list. It's at the top of the list because it is our primary method and channel for supporting our ministries and missionaries around the world. So let me try to unpack really, really quick what happens with the cooperative program. In 1925, the Southern Baptist Convention founded or began this thing called the cooperative program. Right now, it is the envy of every denomination of churches on the planet. I mean, truly, this was a genius idea almost 100 years ago when the leaders sat down and said, how can we most bring together the churches to support our missionaries? That's the driving force of it. So what happens is, just so if you're new here, haven't been to Southern Baptist Church, this is why it is so important. When you're looking for a church, I know you got to make sure the theology is right, but you need to know, what is that church supporting? Cooperative program, basically, we're a local church. We take a portion, we take a 10%, a tithe, of the tithe that comes in, and we send it to this thing called and through the cooperative program. Now, our state convention keeps a portion of it, and that stays here in the Commonwealth of Virginia for ministries, missionary work, starting new churches, disaster relief stuff, and the rest of it goes to the National Southern Baptist Convention. And it's about a 50-50 split in Virginia, which we're doing it right. Some states don't. About a 50-50. And when it gets to the National Southern Baptist Convention, that's where it supports our international missionaries, our North American missionaries, our Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Listen, you have a voice in D.C. and don't even realize it through this commission. Okay? Listen, you've got feet and hands in countries around this world right now and may not realize it just through your giving here at Mountain View. This is called the cooperative program. So we strike from the tithe that comes in undesignated giving and we send it through the cooperative program. Now here's where it goes. I want you to see this. Hey, I'm going to blow your socks off. You ready? Unless you ain't wearing socks, then I'll blow your shoes off. I might make your hair stand on end because I didn't realize this. Do you know, in 5 years ago, when I went through this, I told y'all, I looked up, I do this every year, I looked up the median household income in King George County. Now, 5 years ago, And this is going to either surprise you or not. It doesn't matter. But this is the truth. I can't help it. Census data. 5 years ago, median household income in King George County was $81,000. Now, here's what happened. You may not believe this. I looked it up. Currently, median household income, jot it down, King George County, is $104,000. That's median. Now, average household income, $120,000. Now, I don't know where you live. And you may be like, good Lord, I got a tenth of that. Or you may be like, wow, God is blessed. Like, I mean, honestly, right? We're in different places in life. It kind of blew me away because I didn't realize how the economy had changed in this county. It kind of blew me away. So here's what I did because I want to make it simple. So I said, let me take then the median household income of $100,000. This is in King George County. It may not be in your house, maybe where you live, but this is true in this county right now. $100,000. Now, if you faithfully tithe, that means, and I did my math right here, that means that $10,000 is given through your local church with your tithe. Now, here's what your question ought to be. In my church, if I give $10,000 of a median income, where is that money going? And I want you to see it. So here's what we do. At Mountain View, we forward, I told you, 10% on through cooperative program. Now, here's what it looks like. Our state convention, I didn't even know they had done this. They put online a calculator that shows you exactly where the money goes. And you know what I did? I went to the website. And I went in there and I said, all right, now show me if I've got a median income of $100,000 in King George County right now. And I tithe $10,000 through the year. And the church takes a tenth of that and sends it through the cooperative program. What if I supported outside the walls of my church? Here's the breakdown. Like, seriously, if that is your situation with a median income, you have this pastor given $242 international mission work through just tithing. You've given 107, almost 108 North American missionaries, 105 to our six Southern Baptist seminaries, standing on the truth of God's word, preparing ministers and preachers and missionaries. Our Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, other ministers, I can't even see the number, 22% or so. There's also a line there for promoting cooperative program, making sure that we're on top of that. But it's not only the 51% for our national entities and our state convention. You can see the hundreds of dollars you're giving to church planting, church revitalization. Now, the reason I share that is people don't understand in churches. When you take the offering plate and you tithe, and you put in your 10%, or whatever you choose to give. Some people go above 10%, but when you put in your tithe, undesignated giving, we strike 10% immediately and send it straight to the cooperative program. Last year, our little church, I think I looked it up, we sent about $22,300 to the cooperative program. So now if you take your 10% and what you give, we strike that and send it, you're supporting things like this and ain't even got a clue you're doing it. That's the beauty of the cooperative program. Man, this is why we're so thankful and Mount View to be a part of something called the Southern Baptist Convention. The convention is standing on Scripture right now. It's strong. It's conservative. We're happy for that. But man, we know when we give at our church that we are supporting our missionaries. We're supporting God-honoring moral causes. That gets me excited. So sometimes at Food Lion, and the last few times, the ladies there, would you like to donate $5 for some apples for the people somewhere? And I say, ma'am, I give through my church. And I'm not being mean. And the next week, would you like to donate $5? I said, ma'am, I give through my church. Right? See, that's a testimony of a church. Look, you don't realize how much we support when you give through Mountain View Baptist Church. So that's what I'm excited about. I wanted to share that with you today. And let me show you something else. And again, if you're new here, you don't know this, and that's fine. Back in 2021, our budget for missions used to look like this. Okay, we had cooperative program, it's always been in there, and we had several other categories to capture some benevolence when things come up, outreach projects, if we did backpacks or put some goodie packs together for bus drivers and nursing home workers, we did, that was in there. Now, in 2022, man, I'm going to tell y'all, the church here, y'all have been so faithful with your giving. Can I just flat out say that? You've been so faithful with your giving. And so in 2022, as the pandemic was rolling along, we started looking at what was coming in, and it's like, man, this is far exceeding our needs here at the church. I mean, this is just a blessing beyond blessing. So 2022, when we were putting together the budget that year, we decided, let's tack $10,000 more on missions giving. So in 2022, we went from this for our missions category. Again, if you're new here, I want you to know this is what we support. Expanded to this. Now, here's what I want you to know. At Mountain View, when you give here, cooperative program is top of the list. We're not cheating cooperative program. That's for missionaries or seminaries. We're taking care of that with your giving. We still got benevolent. But here's what we did. The Bible says in Acts 1:8 that the message shall be preached starting here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. So we look for, let's find some good, solid ministries that we know we can support in good conscience, and let's try to add to that. So we went local ministries with our Choices Women's Center, our food pantry locally, disaster relief in the state of Virginia that also goes beyond, Family Foundation Fight for Values in Richmond, our Vision Virginia offering, which that's designated as we give each year. But here's what we did. We added to Annie Armstrong for National Ministries and also later for Lottie Moon. When you give Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, we add on top of that before we send it in. We also put Answers in Genesis in their tremendous ministry, national ministry in what they do. Lottie Moon is in there. Samaritan's Purse, of course, they do a whole lot in the area. And again, the outreach projects. So what I want you to see, when you give at Mountain View, we're trying to reach outside the walls of this church. And here's the idea. I did the math. If you do the math on our budget and what goes out, 16% of our budget is missions and outreach. Now, I challenge you. I would challenge you to contact any church that you know of and say, would you give me a breakdown real quick? How much of y'all give to cooperative program? Total your giving when it comes to missionaries and things like that. What percentage of your budget is it? Now, every now and then you're going to find one. I know a big church in Fredericksburg. They're faithful with their cooperative program, 10%. It's a huge number. $3 million budget, $300,000. I mean, I know that, and we're thankful for that. But a typical church, most churches don't realize how important it is when it comes to their giving to make sure they're supporting outside of those four walls. So your amount, if you take our budget, we got about 16% that's leaving this place trying to help our missionaries and trying to help churches get started, trying to help with disaster relief. It's where we are. And so, yes, when somebody asks me, would you like to donate $5 for something for this? I'm like, ma'am, I give through my church. I mean, it's a testimony. And other opportunities come up. And I can give. There's nothing wrong with it. But that's just where I'm at. So that's what I want to show you here in Malachi, that faithful giving makes a difference. And so I want to close with this statement, that it makes a difference to the individual, it makes a difference in the church, and it makes a difference in the world. Malachi 3 is a strong sermon. Malachi had a tough task here. People were disobedient when it came to their giving. And so Malachi tried to address it. He did it very directly, did it very bluntly. But it's because he knew that when people cheat God, they're missing out on a blessing. And they're bringing curse into their life. So, again, this is March 15, 2020. I was going to share this, and I try to do a stewardship sermon each year, and I just haven't in a long time. And this past week, since I didn't have time to study for Revelation, I said, Lord, I think this must be the Sunday that you want to show us what you're doing here at this church with our giving. So I've been excited. I've been excited about that. So I'm going to encourage you with a couple of things. Number one, yeah, I don't know where you stand. I don't know where the numbers strike you. I know where they strike me when I see median incomes and average incomes. But you know what I've discovered? If you make $300,000 a year, or you make $30,000 a year, the responsibility to be faithful in honoring God does not change. You know? So I'm going to encourage you. I don't know where you are. Man, the church, man, we're so thankful. We're standing solid financially here at the church. So thankful for that. So never, ever ask or beg. We don't need that. I mean, honestly, I mean, God, that's... But here's the deal. If you're cheating God, you're really cheating yourself. That's the problem. And that's what makes it hard. So I want to encourage you with that. You know, be faithful to God. We're trying to be faithful to church to support ministries and, you know, making sure that we're extending beyond the walls of this place. But I hope that's encouraging to you. It is to me. Faithful giving makes a difference. Amen. And it does make a difference in our own homes, in our church, but also well beyond this church. Let's close. As we bow, as we pray, and as we do that, I hope that you'll take the opportunity before you go today, maybe think about it later, evaluate where you stand. Jesus becomes Lord not only of our baptism certificate, but He also becomes Lord of our checkbook and our calendar, and there are things that He shares with us so that we can have the very best life and know His blessings. And so I hope that you'll consider that and you'll find yourself faithful with your giving. Also thanking God for just thanking God for your giving here at the church. I'm so thankful that we're able to support so many ministries. I think it's about 3,600 missionaries overseas. We support about 3,000, or I might have those switched, but in over 6,000 missionaries we support just through giving every Sunday. We're thankful for that. I pray God will bless as we obey Him with it as a church. And then as we close today, just in case you're here without Christ, God is going to give you another opportunity right now to respond to His love for you, the fact that He sent His Son to die on the cross. He was raised from the grave. And I'm telling you right now, He is the only way you're going to escape hell and make heaven. Could share that Wednesday about Phyllis Atkinson. I shared it yesterday about Polly Allen. But He is the only way that you're going to miss hell and make heaven. And so if you're sitting here today without Christ, you're listening later online, it's just another opportunity, another chance God has given you to repent of your sin, to put your faith in His Son, that He died for you, that He rose, and you're committing your life to Him. That may need to be your prayer this morning, prayer of commitment for your salvation. So I'm going to be quiet. You think, you pray, you respond there in your heart here at the altar. And then I'll close us in just a moment, and we'll be on our way. Father, today has been strange. I'll be the first one to admit that. I believe in Your sovereignty that You've led down this road. And I pray that it's been an encouragement to us all and been a help to us all when it comes to making sure we're honoring You with our finances and what You provide. May we be that way as a church as well, that we honor You with our giving and how we send money to ministries and different missions agencies. As we go today, Lord, I'm just praying that You would guide and bless each one. Give us a good, safe rest of this day. Lord, give us a good week. Help us to be faithful to You through this week. And we lift up our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.